All right, you're on the Arms Room with Glenn.
And John. All I'm back this week. Yay.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, that's right. You were gone last week.
I was gone last just week. I was sad that I missed that show last week.
It was a good show, man.
I bet it was. Would have been better if I were here, though.
Probably at least 5 to 10% better.
Yeah, at least.
Minimum. So, again, we're going to remind everyone before we get started to, remember everyone deployed.
Yeah, buddy.
And it looks like we're sending more folks out soon.
Yay.
Already.
Yeah.
I know several members of CAG who are already gone.
Yay.
And some other folks who are getting deployed pretty quickly. So, also on that note, actually, if you know somebody who is deployed in harm's way in any way, shape, or form, please send us an email if they you think they'd want a care package. We have a student and a listener that is awesome about sending care packages out, and she would like to send some care packages out, but she doesn't know where to send them right now because she doesn't know anyone deployed. She's a veteran herself. She doesn't know anybody deployed. Currently, I don't, other than guys that can't have mail sent directly to them, I don't know a lot of guys who are deployed like in a big unit or something like that. So if you know some guys or gals who are deployed and would like a care package, email us their shipping information and we will get some care packages sent their way. info@trainingaz.com. All right. Got to talk about the topic that is taking over the social media memes right now.
Oh, the dick shooter?
No. Oh. Yes, but okay. Not yet. The fight, man.
The
McGregor-Mayweather fight. So here was my prediction, okay? I knew Mayweather was going to win because he's a freaking boxer.
Right.
All right? And he's a 40 at the time, 49-0 champion, right?
Yeah.
He knows how to watch people, analyze people, and then beat them.
Yeah.
Right? So I knew Mayweather was going to win in the end. Of course, there was a little glimmer of hope in me that wanted
everybody's got a puncher's chance,
man. An MMA fighter to just work that shit. But it didn't happen. So I honestly didn't think McGregor was going to go 10 rounds.
No?
No.
Why not?
I just didn't think he was going to have it in him, man. I figured that Mayweather would have him figured out in, 3-4 rounds, and he would bite him. He'd wear him out for another few rounds, and he'd probably knock him out somewhere around the 7th or 8th.
Very few actual, from my experience, limited experience in watching boxing, very few people actually get knocked out.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean like a
TKO
normal,
stoppage, yeah. Whatever.
They, just like here.
Whatever they call them. Yeah.
Officially, McGregor lost by knockout. Right?
Technical knockout, yeah.
So that's what I mean. Not like a stone cold, you're out like a sack of potatoes.
That's
knockout,
honestly, but that's what I was hoping to watch. I was hoping to watch McGregor land one on that dude's jaw and just drop him like a sack of potatoes.
Well, what was a lot of fun to watch is how much McGregor was holding back as they fought. It was fun to watch how much McGregor was like, he'd grab him.
Yeah,
and then
it was super weird.
And then he'd like rabbit punch him in the back of the head. And this is like all these little things that were happening that I really enjoyed watching the fight. And I'm not much of a big fight watcher. I'll watch one if it's on.
I hate boxing.
A buddy of mine had a big party.
Yeah.
And there was a whole bunch of us. Man, there must have been probably 50 guys over there or something. It was a blast. It was fun. And it was just fun to watch that fight. We watched all the prelims. Those were
boring as shit.
The
dude.
One just before it though, with the two lightweight guys.
The one in the Puerto
Rican
fluffy
dude.
Shorts.
Yeah, and the fluffy blue shorts. I don't know what the hell that was all about.
Crap was that guy
that was
wearing?
That was kind of an okay fight.
That was an okay fight.
The ones before that, I mostly just talked to people through that one. But so what does it mean, right? What does the fight mean? Here's what I think it means. It means, first of all, you take McGregor, okay? There was no way for him to actually lose anything.
No.
You took a guy who switched over from MMA to boxing and then went 10 rounds with the 49-0
champion
in his weight class. So that's phenomenal. Right. Even winning or even losing, he still wins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He made a ton of money on it. Mayweather, of course, made a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, it's because he also produced it and promoted it.
Yeah.
And
both of their companies technically did. I mean, if you look at this thing from the conspiracy theory perspective,
that's why everyone called it the money fight. That's all it was. It was a money gig.
Oh, just a big old money gig. And you know what? McGregor did a really great job. I felt he did a really great job of going there and representing a good fight. He definitely.
It's hard to break some habits.
He went a little MMA a couple times, but
he
did fine. And he stood up, man. And he hung in there. And even what I liked about it, too, was even when he was on the ropes, he wasn't on the ropes. I mean, even when he was on the ropes, he was still throwing a jab here, trying to block this there. I mean, obviously you could watch him just get worn out as the time went on. But I really enjoyed watching it. And here's what I'd like to see. Of course, Mayweather says he's done, 50 and 0.
Oh, I'd love to see him step in the cage.
I would love to see him step in the cage with McGregor.
I'd like to step in the cage with anybody.
Anybody at that professional level, right?
Yeah. Step in there. Don't be a bitch. Just do it. Give it a shot.
Now,
I'm not ever going
to
do it.
I'm not bagging on boxing because I love boxing. I think it's a great fighting style.
I hate boxing.
Okay, I don't like to watch boxing. How about that? I like to do boxing, and I think that boxing is a really great style to learn in. Right? It's a good stand-up game, strikes, taking strikes, landing strikes, all that. It's all good stuff, good footwork, the whole bit. That all being said, and we've recommended it on the show before, mm-hmm. Hey, you should go seek this out. I'm not a big watching boxing fan, especially the heavyweights. It's boring shit. But I would love to see Mayweather, even just recreationally, step in the cage with somebody and, you know, give him the same amount of time. McGregor had some time to train and do all that. Give Mayweather the same amount of time and see what happens.
I'll predict that.
I'll put money on whoever's the fighter.
Yeah.
Whatever MMA fighter's fighting.
Because the last boxer that tried, Tooney, I don't remember his name, heavyweight, when it stepped in the ring with Couture.
Straight out worked.
Dude, fight was over in less than a round. Couture just owned him. Owned him. The best part was Couture owned him in boxing.
Yeah.
Like he outboxed a professional boxer.
So I really enjoyed the fight and I liked watching it. Some people I know said, oh, they didn't watch it because they thought, oh, it's just I can't watch that travesty or whatever. I'm like, man, it's fun.
Giant publicity stunt where everyone made a lot of money.
Yeah. It's a great time. Great time. So there you go. Had some fun with the minigun on Friday. John, your favorite weapon.
Whatever. Yeah. I was here working.
It was a good time.
I'm glad.
Had Timney Triggers and Strategic Armory Corps out to New Range. Got to meet the CEO and new VP, really, of Strategic Armory Corps.
Nice.
Awesome guys, man. Really, really cool guys. Been talking with them a little bit since about some other projects. It's just really cool people. You know, I just like doing business with local companies, and I like doing business with people who are just cool people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not stuck-up pricks. They're not corporate types trying to insert themselves into the gun world. So it was a lot of fun. And the guys, of course, from Timney Triggered, we know them. They're always awesome guys. So that was a lot of fun. So, yeah, that was fun, expelling a retarded amount of rounds down the range.
I was going to try to come out there, and I got here, and I got hung up doing a bunch of sewing, trying to catch up, get ahead, whatever. And I was like, I looked at my watch. I was like, crap. Oh, well.
Yeah, we were out there until about 3:30, I think, something like that. So. So now we got to talk about the nut shot.
Beautiful.
Right. Did that happen? It hasn't happened since the last show. Did we talk about it on the last show?
No, it happened since then. Trump rally was Tuesday? Wednesday. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Trump rally was Wednesday
night.
Man,
my time is so screwed up. Okay, so Trump comes to freaking town on Tuesday, right? And all these Antifa...
Whatever.
Anti-fascist, whoever the hell they are, okay? They show up... And they're all us. And then the one guy, and of course you get to see, and his name is James Coben, right? He's been arrested for being a fucking idiot. And he runs up there and he kicks the tear gas grenade back. And my good friend, who I can't name him on the show, dick punches this guy
with a pepper ball.
With a, we'll call it a pepper ball.
Well, we all saw it. Like you see the pepper ball explode.
And it. He just knocks him. So anyway, the dude goes down, and it's awesome. And it was cool.
It was great.
It was very fun to watch. And so in honor of
– not fuck with the cops in Phoenix. They will dick shoot you, period.
So in honor of the Downtown Operations Unit, and we have several friends who work for the DOU down there with Phoenix PD, we actually decided in their honor to make this patch.
So excited,
and
dude.
Sticker, okay?
And when are we gonna have these?
They're coming soon, man. They're in production right now. And
sweet.
And so it's got a picture like this cartoon looking guy.
It's on the Arms Room Facebook page.
It is, and he's got this star area like impact star on his dick, and it says "Good night, left nut." Right? That's got a double meaning, right? Because he's a left nut. He's a nut from the left end. Yeah. His left nut, right? Because he took a grenade to the dick. So. Super awesome. So we were just going to initially make them for these guys, and I posted that image up.
Oh, dude, that thing went crazy.
Holy crap, people got excited about it. So we went ahead and did it, and we already have, I don't know, it's like 60-something orders in the last couple days. We already have other companies buying wholesale from us to sell it on their site. So I'm very excited about how much reach. I'm excited about the reach that this freaking idiot is getting, right? And he's all over the place, right, this guy. So you can check it out if you go to trainingaz.com and click on our online store.
Yeah.
You
can order some stickers.
You can order some patches and some stickers. They're PVC raised Velcro back patches, yeah, and they're matte laminate finish stickers, so they're all weather. And you can put them on your cool. You're going right on my water bottles.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to put all of my water bottles.
I'm
going to
put one on the Tom car at the range, not kidding. They're going all over all my stuff because I love the fact that this happened. And what's even better than
I'm
going
to get a bunch. I want to get a bunch of them and go to one of these rallies and stick them on Antifa. Like, stick them on their signs. Be like, hey, I got a cool sticker.
Yeah, I got
for
this
you.
Cool sticker. Bam. Dude, what's even better is all the comments who were like, I can't believe you guys are supporting this kind of fascism. Like, fascism. Fascism. You were breaking
Don't
shit.
Don't fuck with the cops.
And causing a big public nuisance, and then one of your folks got shot in the diggly do with a freaking 40 millimeter or a pepper ball, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the public wants to think it was. Awesome.
Good for them.
So you can get your own. Trainingaz.com. Go hit the online store there and get all the patches and stickers you want. Tons of fun.
Fantastic.
And support it. So we're actually, because we've gotten so many orders, we were just going to donate to a handful of friends we had at the DOU.
Yeah.
But now we're able, because we got so many orders, we're going to donate a ton to like every Phoenix PD department that wants one, basically. So we already have like three departments or three sections of departments that want it. So I have like 60-something going to the Phoenix PD. So it's going to be awesome. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Check that out. On that same note about ordering stuff, I wanted to talk about some discount codes that we have for independence training. I don't know if everybody knows this, but we are in league with a lot of organizations in league, like the League of Evil Gentlemen, or what's that called? Legendary Gentlemen? Evil Gentlemen?
Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I like the evil word thing better.
You're an idiot.
I'm looking right now. Hold on. I want to find this.
You just did a post.
I know. I'm looking for
like
it right
a
now.
Week ago.
No, it wasn't longer than a week ago. Your time and my time are about the same, John. We don't know when the hell anything happened. That's why when our wives go, do you remember? No.
I had this very conversation with my wife.
I don't remember.
This weekend about a thing at the Container Store.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't remember that? We had the kid and your brother was there. And I'm like, I have no freaking clue what you're talking about.
Dude, man. When I was watching the fight and it ended, I was like, hey, someone put that on instant replay. Because I just forgot what I just saw. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. No, I don't remember, babe. All right. So
it's true.
Here's some discount codes that you guys may be interested in. So We Plead the Second, who's some great friends of ours. They make our holsters. They do Cerakoting. Mm-hmm. You guys can get 20% off through them on their online store or in person if you use the code TRAININGAZ. All lowercase for the coupon. TRAININGAZ.
Nice.
20%. Precision 3D Targets, which is p3dt.com. All right, based out of Flagstaff, Arizona. They do all of our steel, all of our cardboard targets, our 3D realistic targets people see us use in training. IT20, so like independence training, IT, lowercase T, 20, gets you 20% off with them, which is great because they have free shipping on their steel targets. So like a great target setup from them is $180. 20% of that brings it down to $140, whatever. It's a smoking deal. KE Arms, I can't remember. I want to say 15 or 20% over there as well. But KE Arms, who we've had on the show a number of times, of course, they make our Glock stuff, our ARs, all that. Arms Room 2017. So capital A, Arms, capital R, Room 2017 will get you a discount over there. Redwire Gear.
Yeah, buddy.
Training 17 is the discount code over there. AR500 Armor. Independence is the training code over there, or the coupon code, I mean, over there. And the Tactical Medic, we get all our medical supplies from. Independence is also their coupon code. And we've got some other organizations we do business with that have different discounts with us from time to time, or different coupon codes with us from time to time. So, you know, definitely check those companies out because they do great business with us and we do business with them. And an interesting thing about the way we choose the people who we do business with is there's a lot of people out there, especially thanks to the faggotry on social media, that all they do is they just whore out whoever will give them free shit. Yeah. Right? They're like, look at this protein powder, some dumb bimbo. Look at this protein powder, or some jacked yoked dude who was like, I was in the whatever XYZ unit and I use this light and it's the, you know, what the fuck, dude? So he doesn't even know because he doesn't use the light. Right? And he would prefer another light, but they sent him that light for free, and so he thinks it's really badass. So we don't do any of that, which makes us unique.
It's true. We are special and unique.
We don't, man.
I know.
We have companies, as John knows, we have companies that send us stuff, and I send it back to them and goes, fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah, this thing's a piece of crap.
Why'd and they're like, well, so-and-so, I don't give a crap what the Navy SEAL said about it. It's a piece of shit. Didn't work for me. Maybe your Navy SEAL buddy likes it, but I don't. It sucks.
Yep.
And so the only people we do business with are the people that we already do business with, mm-hmm. and then we do enough business with them that we go, hey, look, why don't we go ahead and get in cahoots here?
Yeah.
You know, we'll discount stuff for you, discount stuff for us.
Mm-hmm. It's a true story.
Something to think about. How people promote things is important, and where you buy stuff. I think we've talked about this before on the shows, but it's an important thing to remember. So, on that same note, we got some cool independence training classes coming up.
Well, it's fall.
It is.
People want to go out and train again. It's training season.
It is training season.
It's actually about to be running season again in the old Penix household.
Is he going to come running with me some more again?
Well, yeah, but the boys have requested that mom and dad start running again on Friday so they can ride their bikes while we run. So
so we've got, what do we got? We got our basic handgun CCW class coming up September 9th. We have our full intro to precision rifle program. That's 1 and 2 coming up September 16 and 17. We have our coyote clinic coming up, our predator hunting clinic at the end of September. What else we got? We got our full 3-day precision rifle class coming up in October. IFAC Lifesaver, we got our defensive handgun, close contact handgun, shotgun class, our Black Friday event, all those going on in November. Got all our carbine classes and our Out with a Bang match coming up in December. I mean, we have all kinds of cool stuff coming up pretty much every month. So get off your couch, come down, do some training with us.
Yeah, bud.
Or if you want us to come to you, then just email us, info@trainingaz.com, and you can find out about hosting. I answer at least, I don't know, half a dozen emails a week about hosting. People think it's way more difficult than it is.
No, it's super really easy. Simple.
So,
facility, students, go.
Yeah, and sometimes a facility we need is super simple, man. We have trained in some crazy places.
Yeah, facility is a loose term.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Area to shoot in that
dirt
is safe.
Dirt berm on your private land. I've done that.
Safe granite, shooting area.
Gravel pits.
Yeah.
Classroom. That's a loose term, man. We've had some weird classrooms.
Shed.
Sheds. I trained in a garage.
Hotels? Yeah. Not hotels. Double-wide trailers?
Double-wide trailers.
We've done that.
Have done that. We've done, I mean, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Wherever the class is, that's where we'll go. We're not picky.
Whatever.
Casting couch. John is all about that. He earns it.
$20, bro.
$20, man. Redwire gear moment, go.
All right. Speaking of training, and it kind of ties into the show a little bit today. Yeah, speaking of $20, no, when you're mounting pouches and stuff to whatever platform you use, your belt, your vest, your plate carrier, whatever it is, those pouches have some type of attachment on the back of them, and they have webbing sections on the back of them. And if you look closely at your other platform, you'll notice that there's also webbing, and it is designed to be woven together so that it mounts securely. If you are at all confused about how that works, because I know some people that have never used this stuff before they look at it and they're like, I have no idea how this works. Go on YouTube. The YouTube Gear Mounting University is fantastic. There's a million different videos because there's a million different options because some companies have built-on stuff. Some people, you have to use malice clips or you have to use the, I don't even know. There's a plethora of options out there.
Tons.
So, make sure that you mount your pouches to your vest or platform appropriately.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I got today.
Okay.
Because I get tired of seeing floppy pouches.
Dude, I think that's probably a big thing that plagues our society, John, is floppy pouches.
It's true. Yeah. How many students have we had show up to class?
I see several at Walmart every time I go. There's a lot that show up in our class, man. And yeah. It's often that we that I'm like, hey, man, you know that your pouch is about to fall off? And they're like, oh, no, I got it through the webbing thing. And you're like, yeah, one of them, but
there's,
during a break, let me show you what's up. And it's mostly because people just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Don't know what you don't know. So, yeah. There's a lot of cool mounting options. I like the Malice Clips myself. I use that.
Malice Clips are great. My buddy Ryan from Whiskey 24 has a really cool kind of a replacement for the Malice. They're the laser cut mounting tabs.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
pretty awesome.
Yep, those are pretty cool. I've used those, obviously.
The med kits, our med kits have...
yeah, who makes those?
Triple Z Customs out of Oceanside, California. Yeah, those are dope. They have them in the 3-inch size that we use, a 2-inch size, and they have them that are pre-drilled.
What I like about those clips is you actually don't have to weave them.
Yeah, those weren't designed to be woven.
I can just grab it, like I'm headed out for a hunting trip here, and
yeah.
So I was packing my hunting pack last night, and I've got my Mark 82, of course, I'll be taking with me, and I just mount it on the pack, on the back. It's easy. Like, it's so easy with those clips to find a mounting solution. So that was Triple Z Customs, right?
Triple Z Customs.
I saw them on Instagram, too.
Yeah, right? They're on Instagram, they're on Facebook.
They make some cool stuff.
They do have some neat stuff.
Check that stuff out. All right, Red Wire Gear Moment brought to you by RedWireGear.com. Check them out. All right, on to our topic today.
What are we talking about today?
We'll start a little late.
That's all right. We always do.
The modern fighting rifle.
Oh, Lord.
How to set it up for success.
Oh, God.
I asked some people some questions over the last couple weeks. Some people being people I knew that were experienced to very inexperienced, right? People like I was talking to my wife, who shoots the carbine but hasn't used it a ton.
Right.
I talked to my son, who's used the carbine quite a bit, but not from a fighting perspective.
Yeah.
talked to some veteran buddies of mine. Talked to some cop friends of mine. Talked to some of our students during classes. And said, what would you want to know about the modern fighting rifle? So here's kind of what it broke down to. Here's the list. All right?
Okay.
So while John mutters creepily in the background, while he's reading out loud,
I can't read silently. My inner monologue is broken.
So yeah,
don't worry about that.
Just rest right here. So the modern fighting rifle, how to set it for success. First thing I want to talk about is caliber. You got to start this conversation with caliber because you
really
get it out of the way.
Okay.
All right. I want to get.
So
it out
can
of
I
the
give
way.
You my opinion on caliber?
I would love to hear it.
It doesn't matter as long as it's not a 22 for fighting. But if a 22 is all you got,
dude,
go for it.
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
Caliber doesn't matter.
Man, you know, load it up with a little MP15-22 from Smith & Wesson. You can trick that thing out, man.
Yeah, buddy.
High velocity 22s. No.
If that's what you got, it doesn't matter.
We're not recommending 22 for
self-defense. No, don't.
Don't do that. But, I mean, yeah, if it's all you have, you hear some people go, well, it's better than nothing. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of things that are better than nothing. And there's a lot of things that are better than nothing. So be careful.
Putting
about
duct tape on
nothing.
The bottom of my feet in the absence of shoes is better than
better
nothing.
Than nothing.
But
still not the best option maybe available. All right. Okay. So caliber. I'm going to say that the three most common calibers of fighting rifles today are going to be a 5.56, 223 variation, some kind of 7.62 by 3.9 variation.
Mm-hmm.
And then a 7.62 by 5.1 or 308 Winchester variation. Now, of course, you've got the more popular stuff happening, like 300 Black. You know,
that one's becoming very, very common.
Becoming very, very popular and a really great option. My recommendation on whatever caliber you want is choose a caliber that's appropriate for the targets that you intend to engage.
Yeah.
Right? So, and from a shared gun perspective, like I like 5.56. Because I already have a ton of 5.56. I train with the 5.56 all the time. I shoot
all of
it
my
for
friends
all kinds
have
of purposes.
5.56s.
All my friends have 5.56s. I'm already have a plethora of ammunition and stuff available for my 5.56. It's also really easy for me to hand to my kids or my wife and say, here, shoot this. And it's simple. You know, 300 Blackout's a really great caliber, and for that 30 cal perspective, very effective out to 300 meters. It's a great gun, but it's really designed to be shot suppressed. If you're not shooting a suppressed, you're not really getting the benefits of a 300 Black, in my opinion, in my experience, right, which is anecdotal. But that being said, if you're not shooting a 300 Black suppressed, you're wasting your money. Just get a 7.62 by 3.9 and call it a day.
Yeah.
So I also have 7.62 by 3.9 for my what I would consider fighting rifles, right? Heavier 30 caliber round. Not typically designed to really go further than the 5.56 necessarily, but a heavier round.
It hits a little bit harder.
So it hits a little bit harder. Now, I can't take my AK or, like, you know, I've got a Mutant. I can't take either one of those guns that shoot 7.62 by 3.9 and hand them to my kid necessarily and say, here, shoot this effectively. They're heavier.
Not
they have
a bipod.
Recoil impulse. All those kinds of things, right? And you can get them lightweight, but then the lighter weight you go on a 30 caliber,
the heavier that recoil feels.
The more recoil you're going to get. So pick your caliber appropriate to what you're going to have access to. 7.62 by 3.9 is great, but you know, I'm kind of a fan, obviously, of having a little bit of both. 7.62x5.1 is great. Got an AR-10. It's a fantastic piece of equipment. Now you're talking about heavier ammunition, more expensive to train with, not necessary for most of the fighting that you're probably going to be doing.
No.
So
too,
now,
too much.
Let's go back to that for a second. Let's talk about what we mean when we say the modern fighting rifle, the modern fighting carbine. We're talking about self-defense here.
Right.
Right. We're not talking about Red Dawn parachuting Russians. We're not talking about Koreans. What did they put in the league, the most recent one? Were they Koreans? It's Chinese.
Koreans, Chinese. I don't remember.
Whatever. So.
Oof. I had to fight the urge.
Yeah, I did too. Just pause.
That folksy Southern racism about came out.
So, sorry, guys. It's whoever they were fighting. All right.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about self-defense. We're talking about, you know, some engagement that's probably going to happen inside of 200 or 300 yards.
Most likely going to happen inside your house.
Most likely going to happen inside of 50 yards, and even more likely going to happen inside of 50 feet.
Yeah.
You know, but all that being said, we have to look at this. It is a rifle, so let's talk about it from that. Now let's talk about some other calibers that you might consider a modern fighting rifle in. Is there anything wrong with shooting your pistol rounds out of your rifle?
Well, if it's a pistol caliber carbine, That's what I'm talking about. If it's not, then your pistol rounds are not going to feed.
Don't shove shit in your gun.
That 9mm is not going to shoot through that .223 burrow.
Yeah, we've seen not what happens happen. When that tries, yeah, when yeah. it's attempted. So shared caliber is something to consider as well. When we're talking about urban engagements here likely, and we're talking about close quarters engagements, it is not a bad idea to consider a pistol caliber carbine in any number of variations that they come
God.
In. Anything from the CZ Scorpion or the SIG MPX, which are great choices, to an MP5 or an Uzi, whether full or semi is based on your budget. You know, getting something like the ARs from Kate Yarms, for example, or from Gibbs that take the Glock magazines. So now you've got an AR platform that accepts any size Glock magazines, obviously up to, you know, 30-round mm-hmm. clips and – or clips. Freaking, I can't believe I just said that. 30-round magazines.
Do push-ups, bro. Just
oh, man. Push-ups. I'm doing push-ups in my head right now. I'm beating myself. I'm punishing Jesus myself right now. Christ. All right, 30-round magazines. What I was thinking of was those stupid
30-caliber
drums.
Magazine clips.
I was thinking about those stupid drums, and I was thinking on one train in my head, I was thinking, drums are as dumb as clips. And as I was thinking that, it crossed the track to the other train where I was saying 30-round, and then it said clip.
It's all right.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, everybody. So 30-round magazines, all right, or the 30-round or bigger drum magazines. I don't know how big the drum magazines are for the Glocks.
I've never used one, honestly.
I think X Products maybe makes them or something. I don't know. They're probably overpriced.
It looks like a giant nutsack hanging out of the bottom of your Glock.
Well, there's only one, though. So it's like a Lance Armstrong nutsack.
Yeah, I've seen the double ones, though.
That's a Beta C-Mag.
Now, I've seen them in Glocks.
Do you like how I'm making these gestures with my hands?
I know.
It's got these two things down here in this long shaft that comes out of the middle. It's a Glock drum magazine.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining in my head when I'm cupping it like this in my hands.
I don't think that's what you're imagining, but it's your story, bro. You tell it how you want.
So one cool gun that I've got actually in my armory, I should say, is I've got one of those Kel-Tec Sub 2000s.
I want one of those so bad.
They're pretty cool, man. If you're going to get one, get the Gen 2. Do not get the Gen 1s. They have all kinds of problems. But I've had a lot of success with the Gen 2. They're really cool little guns. I've got a little 45-degree red dot mounted on mine.
Yeah.
Easy to throw a suppressor on it. You can take any size Glock magazines. I had to cut my grip down to take my 19 mags. But now I've got this gun that folds in half and goes in a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Briefcase, whatever. I can stick it in my truck and keep it with me easily. And now if the need arises, and it's not going to be a quick deployment kind of thing. Like, oh, my gosh, I need a rifle. This is going to take me a few seconds to get to. But as I'm pulling it out and I click it into place, I can now reload off my side because
mm-hmm.
I already carry a Glock 19. So it's like I can just reload with my standard Glock mags. And, of course, with it, I keep a couple of 30-round sticks. So that's something to think about, you know? If you're shooting inside of that 100 yards, 50 yards, or closer, probably a pistol caliber is going to be great. Now, why wouldn't I want to do a pistol caliber? Right, my oldest son and I, you know the story. We were in the store, and I was showing him pistol caliber carbines.
He goes,
"Why would you want?" He goes, "If you're going to have that size of gun, Dad, why would you want to shoot a pistol caliber when you shoot a rifle caliber?"
Kind of got you by the short hairs on that one, buddy.
Good call, son. Well, you've got a couple of considerations. One, from an inside the house perspective, not nearly as loud.
No,
not nearly as bright.
True.
quieter when you suppress it.
Yes.
Benefits there. Plus, you can have that capability to reload off your side. Now, instead of having to carry multiple magazines, I can just carry one. Instead of having to stock up on multiple calibers, I can just stock up on one.
Yep.
So consider a pistol caliber carbine. I got a couple of them. They're great.
I want to. That's probably my next build.
The sub? Yeah. Or a pistol caliber carbine.
Pistol caliber carbine.
I'm thinking I might build one from Kate Yarns, man. I shot one of theirs a couple of times in different competitions.
Because I'm either going to do that or an AR pistol or both. If the ARFCOM answer, both?
Both.
Yeah.
I would get the pistol caliber carbine before I got another AR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having both, meh.
Yeah.
I would go with the pistol caliber carbine. So ammo selection. Let's talk about that. Because that was a question that actually came up a lot when I was talking to different people about what kind of ammo, you know, should we stock up on. And most of them had questions about the 5.56 and said, well, you know, what kind of ammo should we stock up with 5.56? And the standard answer that most people go to is like M193, M855. Don't stock up on M855.
No.
That's probably the worst anti-personnel round ever. It works, of course, when shot placement is appropriate. It's always going to work, right?
But it's been fairly effective over the last several decades.
Yeah, and we figured out how to make it work. But M193 is something good to stock up on, a good 55 grain, high velocity projectile.
Yeah.
But if you're going to stock up on anything, look for these crazy deals that places like Palmetto State Armory have on, you know, gold dot 64 grain, or I think it's 64 grain, or, you know, 62 grain bear claws, or any kind of soft point between 55 and 69 grains. Don't get hollow points. You want soft points if you're looking for anti-personnel stuff. You know, you don't have to go very far. We're not shooting long distances, so you don't need the ballistic coefficiency of that hollow point. Soft point's good enough. And look at bulking, you know, bulk buying things like that. I found some factory second bear claw rounds, the FBI XT3 or whatever the hell round it is. It's a bonded trophy bear claw, trophy bonded bear claw, however the hell they call it. It's a Sierra round. Federal, so Sierra projectile made by Federal. Yeah. 62 grain, 5.56, great round. I found them, man, I want to say I paid like $10 a box of 20, so I paid like 50 cents a piece for these things, which is pretty good for a defensive round.
Pretty good.
And I've been using it for hunting. I bought like 1,000 rounds of it when it was super cheap, and because that was cheap in comparison to what it normally is, which is like over $1 a round. And so I just bulk bought a bunch of it, and I've been using it for hunting. It's what I keep loaded up for self-defense. I'm very familiar with the round, the ballistics trajectory. So when you think about ammo selection, you also want to think about the kind of stuff that you can use a lot. It's the same issue we see with people when they have their handguns. They buy training ammo, full metal jacket, whatever, and then they buy their home defense, self-defense ammo, and they never really train with that because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So try to get – so that's fine, but if you're going to use 124 grain – self-defense, and try to use 124 grain training ammo. Try to get it from the same manufacturer. And with pistols, you're typically talking about closer engagement, so it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with carbines and rifles, try to get ammunition you're going to practice with that's as close to...
Because you're gonna see a different point of aim, point of impact for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see a subtle zero shift. Like with my handgun, I shoot one... My self-defense load's 147 grain... Federal HSTs, and I normally shoot 115 grain Federal, just whatever. And I don't, at most of the distances I shoot my pistol, there's a negligible difference.
It's going to be negligible inside of like 7 yards.
Yeah. But with rifles, you're going to start to see that faster than you will with a pistol. You'll see that difference.
Oh, massively, yeah. And the other issue that you're going to see with ammo selection is not just the type of ammunition and the weight and all that, but we also want to be aware of how we're storing it. So for us here in Arizona, it's really easy for us to store ammo. We just put it someplace.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter where we put it. As long as it's not underwater, it doesn't matter. But, you know, if I was going to say be storing ammunition in, I don't know, let's just choose Houston, for example, okay? If I was going to store ammo in Houston,
basically anywhere in the southern half of Texas now.
I would probably not want to just put it anywhere.
Right.
God bless all of you who are in Houston, by the way. I hope everybody's okay.
And for the law enforcement guys that are out there working, if you see an Antifa sticker, just skip that house over. Oh, just God. Skip them. Yeah. Let them drown. Just let them go. It'll be all right.
Seriously, though, God bless all the law enforcement people and the emergency providers. I've seen so many videos of these guys out there, man, and gals. They are working just nonstop to try to save people. They're doing a phenomenal job. And wow, it's also a great thing. And I don't know how we managed to skip this huge giant event in opening of our show, but
it's a great giant hurricane that just slammed into Texas.
It's something to think about when you're looking at emergency preparedness and things like the modern fighting rifle. You know, in places like this, they have all these people now who are trying to rob and loot. They have all these calls I saw on social media to only go loot the houses of white people or Trump supporters.
There were three that just got killed.
Yeah, they tried to loot
looting someone's house.
And they probably had a really good modern fighting rifle.
Yeah. Like, one dude took one to the dome and he lived another house in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Dude dumped two guys in his house for trying to rob him.
So it's something to think about, man. If you're in any kind of area that could potentially happen because of a natural...
Yeah, the water washes the bodies out.
A natural just open the disaster door. Or something. This is what we're talking about. Good fighting rifle is a handy thing to have.
Yeah, buddy.
And when you talk about types, we'll go back to that for a second because we kind of mentioned that a little bit, like AR pistols,
yeah,
SBRs, long barrels, whatever. Again, choose a barrel and a size of gun that's appropriate for your situation. I would always rather have a 16-inch barrel. Or I have an 11.5-inch barrel with suppressor on it.
For my purposes, I am a big fan of the 11.5-inch because I don't need that long range. I've got a longer rifle. Mm-hmm. I've got other options if I need to go beyond that 300-400-yard range. But primarily for my uses, I love my 11.5-inch.
I bought a 7.5-inch pistol, AR pistol, last year. And with a red dot on it, I can successfully take it out to 300 relatively easily.
Yeah.
So... don't discount those things for having to stretch out to distance. But now I have this really, really compact. Throw a can on that thing. Oh,
it's amazing.
So much fun.
Amazeballs.
A little 7.5-inch pistol with a can on it. It's phenomenal. You know? And it's fun to shoot. And again, it's something I can hand to my kids, even my younger kids. And they're like, hey, I want to shoot an AR. But all our other ARs are too big, too heavy. But we hand them the little AR pistol, little tiny little compact little package.
Yeah.
And obviously, some of them with our assistance, you know. But they can shoot it effectively. And now they're having fun shooting the ARs like everybody else is having fun shooting the ARs. So, something to think about there, the type of gun you're going to get. Again, who else may have to use it around you? I grab my, death-dealing boomstick and hand it over. Hey, daughter, I'm all shot up and I need you to defend the house or whatever. And
the gun's bigger than she is.
She can't freaking hold it up. Well,
kind of useless.
You got to teach her the supine knee carry, man. You got to show people in advance. Hey, yeah. Pin your rifle between your knee. Yeah, you can shoot people. Whatever it takes. Teach your kids how to kill bad guys. It's important. Important skill them to have. My kids are home alone a lot, man. Not a lot. I shouldn't say that, but they're home alone.
Yeah, from time to time. It was a great movie. Second one was garbage.
I wish in the first one he would just kill those guys. Yeah. Like in the first 5 minutes. Yeah. The shortest movie ever. I mean, it was fun to watch him torture him, but it would be better if he just shot one in the face.
Tortured him and then killed him in the end.
Buckshot.
Like spiked one of them with a freaking... Yeah. Yeah,
that's how you know those weren't conservative family. If that was my house, it'd be two dead bad guys. One would be about halfway up the stairs, and the other one would be somewhere around the downstairs area, bleeding out. My son's a little iffy with his shot placement sometimes. So probably shoot him in the guts 3 or 4 times before he managed to work up to the high chest. Two dead bad guys either way.
Yeah,
make for a very fun movie.
I think it'd be a great movie. You just extend it out, just make it longer.
Oh, man. Back to ammo selection.
Yeah, buddy.
So also consider what your ammo is going to do in your environment, right? Like, you got to think about, okay, is this rifle going to be a truck carry rifle? Is this rifle going to be, or carbine, right? Is it going to be something I'm going to put in my truck, something I'm going to put in my home? What's going to happen when this round...
Am I going to shove this thing in my backpack to take it to the office?
Yeah, when this round slams into a human body... at relatively close ranges, what's going to happen next? Because if it blows through the other side because you had poor ammo selection, like you're like, oh, open tip match, MK-262, by God, the SEALs use it, so that works for me. And so you scoop it up and you load it up and you start slamming that into humans and at 7 yards, dude, you're going to be blowing holes right out the back of them. And those rounds have an amazing amount of continued lethality, all right? I've done enough training, testing, and real-world application of that stuff, shooting through barricades, shooting through soft tissue, shooting through
critters,
ballistic
man.
Gelatin, critters, all kinds of stuff. I know what happens when these rounds hit stuff at close range. It blows in one side and it blows out the other. So make sure that you're selecting a round that's appropriate for your conditions. Quite honestly, frangible, man. Frangible may be your best choice. If you live in some crazy apartment complex or something like that, or townhomes or whatever, maybe frange is your best option. Something to think about.
It's a good option for a truck gun if you live in an urban environment.
Yeah.
Because you're not looking at, because you lose, I shot some frange several years ago because it was all that was left up at the Gunsight Veterans Carbine Course.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting frange at 200 yards is impossible. The stuff we had, it was terrible,
dude.
Not
phenomenal at distance.
It was absolutely terrible.
That's not what it's designed
like, I was shooting my friend's target, and I'm like, the instructor's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's the ammo, bro. And they're like, no, it's bullshit. And I'm like, okay. They're like, oh, yeah, it's definitely that ammo.
Well, so your frange isn't great out at range. Another thing to consider, too, is if you are going to run suppressed, get subsonic ammunition.
Mm.
They make subsonic in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get 308 subsonic. You can get your 300 blackout subsonic. You can't get your 5.56 subsonic, but you can
not
get quite
true.
Not commercially, for the most part. You can load it subsonic. Yeah. I mean, so okay. Let me put it this way: there is a way to get everything subsonic. So if you're going to roll subsonic, then shoot. Or if you're going to roll suppressed, I mean, roll subsonic ammunition. Why not get the full benefit of what you're doing? And again, if your distance of engagement is relatively close, then
doesn't really matter. Yeah.
All right, so enough about ammo. Let's get on to lights and lasers. My take on a modern fighting rifle is if you have a gun that's going to be used defensively, it has to have a light on it.
Absolutely.
Period.
And there's no excuse not to have a light on a rifle.
Dude, they're so small.
Because there's so many options. They're so small. They're so light. It's not like
setups.
Dude, it's not like it was not like just over a decade ago when Surefire was still issuing out the whatever that is, like the size of our microphone.
The MV900, it was the vertical foregrip with the light. It was like one of the first ones I ever used. What a piece of junk in comparison to
incandescent. It was like lighting a candle and putting it on the front of your gun.
Yeah.
And it got hot as shit. So if you turned it on and then you dropped your gun to do something and it hit your leg, it would set your pants on fire, scald your skin.
So
it's terrible.
Have a light, and have a light again appropriate for the distance you plan to engage. If you need to go out further, then get something with a good spot.
I use a Surefire TL1S,
and that's a great
TLR1S.
That's not a Surefire. That's a Streamlight.
Streamlight. God, see my brain. That whole train thing.
Yep.
There, it happened again.
Freaking Clipazines.
Clipazines. that's what I have on both of my rifles, and that's what I mount to my pistol.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great. That's
because
a great
option. Perfect for what
they're
need.
$100.
Yeah, and they're $100. So, I think there might be a little bit more now.
I mean, like a 109. I don't think they're that much. I don't think
whatever.
Too bad. But all kinds of light options out there. You have to be able to see, identify what you plan to shoot. Mm-hmm. You can't shoot what you can't see. Mm-hmm. So every time I read a story, and I bet it happens at least once a month, of some, you know, wife shooting her husband, some father shooting his daughter, some sibling shooting another sibling or whatever, all because of poor target identification, because they're freaked out. And it's under stress, and it's nighttime, they tell someone to stop, and they don't stop, and so they shoot. And my question is always like, where the hell was your light? What is this, 1886? I'll reach over and turn on the fucking switch, you idiot. You know what I mean?
But it's
then
dark.
But then they can see me. Well, then you can see them too, you moron. Like, turn on the freaking lights.
Light switch.
There's so many options. Night lights. God, dude. Like, my house is peppered with night lights.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place.
I wouldn't even. There's not a shot that I can imagine taking in my house where I would actually have to use a weapon light. Because of the way my house is set up and the way it's lit up at night.
I have a couple dark spots in my house where I would definitely. I mean, assuming some jackass isn't freaking unplugging all my night lights, but there are some dark spots in my house. That being said, there's still benefits to having your weapon light.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a weapon. I'm just saying.
So how about lasers, John? What do you think about lasers? Laser beams.
Are they attached to sharks?
Yes.
Then they're fantastic. Right. Are they attached to guns? They have a place. It just depends on the place.
What do you think their place is?
Basically failing eyesight. It's about the only real option I see for them. And then, of course, there's military applications for designating things. But normal people?
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that it works the same way your optic does, as in there's a point where the bullet and the laser paths cross, mm-hmm. and that's the only point where it's at the right point, and you have to learn your hold-ons, your holdovers.
Well, what screws a lot of people about
and they
lasers,
spend too much time, like, chasing the laser.
Well, so that's what screws a lot of people with lasers, is they don't spend enough time working with the laser itself under different circumstances. And especially on a rifle where the laser may be mounted on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the laser beam, let's say, is projecting from the left to the right in order to hit the zero point. So now when you go to engage at that zero point, all right, well, now your light, your laser and your point of impact meet up. But inside of that, all your impacts are going to be to the right. And past that, all your impacts are going to be to the left. And the further away you get, the further to the left they're going to get, and the further... the closer it gets, the further to the right they're going to get, right? Because you got two straight, you know, one straight line coming from the left, one straight line going forwards. Like, only where they intersect is there an actual zero. It's not freaking laser-guided munitions.
No, but that'd be great if they had them.
How sweet
for 5.56 laser-guided bullets.
Now, the other aspect of lasers, like, for me personally, I use lasers for one purpose only, and that is night vision.
Yeah.
If I'm not rocking my IR lasers, I don't use lasers. I had some laser grips for a while on one of my pistols. They're cool.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that.
Your old man has them on, doesn't
he? So Pops uses the lasers because he's old.
Yeah, eyesight.
His eyes are screwed up in the dusk.
Yeah, that perfect low light condition where those sights are like basically gone.
Normal daylight, he's fine. But as soon as that kind of failing light happens, he has a hard time. And in his job, he's got to shoot a lot of critters. And so he shoots a lot of critters with the little laser grips on his gun. He's also that old man accurate.
Yeah.
He can't explain how he does it. He just shoots
everything
all the time.
Does it.
Head like, shoots. Holy shit. How'd you make that shot? He's like, I just lined up the sights and pressed the trigger. And you're like, God damn it.
I hate you. I feel the same way when you and I have conversations sometimes about accuracy. I'm like, I hate you.
Oh, man. It's crazy, man. I've seen my dad make amazing shots, but that's a whole other show. Next time my dad's in town. My dad's in town this winter. He's been on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
I got to bring him. I'm going to bring him on the show this winter, I think, and we're just going to talk about being an old guy. He's freaking hilarious, man. He's got the funniest damn stories.
We'll have him on one of the open mics.
We should play FUBAR with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't get most of it because he's old school veteran, but still.
Yeah, but he'd still get it.
Oh, he'd still get it. Yeah, he'd think it was hilarious. All right, optics. What kind of optics should we have on a fighting rifle?
Oh, my God. I don't know. What do you want? What are you using it for? How far do you want to be able to shoot? How accurately do you want to be able to shoot?
First of all, stop with the irons.
Yeah, just...
It's 2017, dude.
Back up. Learn how to use your freaking irons.
Use how to learn your irons. Learn how to
use know irons. How to use your irons. Yeah. Stop keeping fighting rifles with just irons.
Yeah.
With rare exceptions. Like
it
I have.
It puts you at a disadvantage.
It puts you at an absolute disadvantage. I have a Mini 14 in the safe. All it has is iron sights.
Yeah.
It will probably never have an optic because it's more trouble than it's worth to put an optic on that gun.
Right.
But I know how to use that thing.
I know.
Would that be my primary go-to gun? No, not at all, because there's no optic.
Sure.
And those irons are very, very tiny irons.
And they're limited.
Very
low
limited.
Light movement.
Yeah.
I know some purists out there right now are like, I could. The Marine Corps taught me how to shoot irons out to 5. That's true.
That's great. I learned exact same thing, turd.
That's right.
Buy an optic.
That's right. I shot expert, man, my first time out. 39 out of 40 irons. Great.
Yeah.
Who cares? I was in a static position on static targets.
So to this day.
In the light.
To this day, when I qual in the Army, I do it with my irons.
See, I think that's
because
great.
Because qualing with my irons is so much simpler. Because that's how I learned how to shoot. Now, I go overseas, I go other places. Yeah, there's an optic on that gun.
Oh, hell yeah, dude, because now I've got low light capabilities. I have capability to, you know, both eyes open. I've got close range to distance, and depending on the optic, it may give me even more functions than that.
Yeah.
Put some backup irons on your guns. My fighting rifles have backup irons. My competitive rifles don't. It's not worth the extra weight. So I don't put them on there.
I like the take that the guys at InRange are doing on that right now with the modern...
What's the likelihood of your optic going down?
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting concept. I want to see where that goes long term for them.
I have used a lot of guns over the years in a lot of different applications in very harsh conditions all over the place.
Yeah.
I've broken one optic.
You had one fog up.
I had one fog up that was a cheap optic.
It was an inexpensive optic.
It was an inexpensive optic. I did have but it's not nitrogen purged, so there was no question that it was going to fog. It fogged up. And when I said, hey, it fogged up, they were like, well, yeah.
Duh.
You know,
it's like, oh, all right.
I knew it was going to do that. I had one totally break on me that was just absolutely unserviceable. I was with a guy during some tense times where he pulled up his EOTech to potentially engage somebody, and it was dead as shit.
Yeah, they had a
problem
with
that. A lot of people have that experience. So sometimes you will have optics fail. I'm not saying that they don't. They do their electronic or mechanical pieces of equipment.
That's why I – that very reason is why I'm a big fan of a fixed front sight post.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
I love having that fixed front sight post because if I come up with my MRO, my aim point, whatever –
And the dot's not on,
still got it. Caveman.
Or if I can take off an optic –
yeah,
I can always at least have that front sight post as a point of reference. Mm-hmm. If I can get a good cheek weld, then all I have is a front sight post, and we're at room distance, I'm making hits.
Yeah.
You know?
True story.
So I think that there's really two optics that have to be considered for a fighting rifle. It's my personal opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
A red dot of some kind. I don't really give a damn what it is. They're all neato. Yep. All right? I've used them all. They're neat. Or
neato.
The low power variables.
I ran a low power variable on my SBR for a long time, and I finally came to the conclusion that for my purposes, it was basically just added weight to my gun.
Well, on my SBR, I run a red dot.
Yeah, I do too now.
But my purpose of that rifle is 200 and in.
Yeah.
Probably 100 and in.
For a long time, my SBR was my only rifle, so it had to be... I wanted it as capable as possible.
Sure.
But I found over the course of, 3 or 4 years that I ran that thing, that I rarely cranked that power at all. I generally just ran it on one power.
So I think the red dot's great. There are a couple red dots that I prefer. I really like the Aimpoint Micros. The Trijicon MROs.
I am a huge fan of that MRO because
I love it, but I think it's overpriced. Simple. It's like everything else with Trijicon. I think it's overpriced.
Yeah.
What I like about it is it's super simple. It's got like... Three adjustments for brightness. Like
six
got
a settings
ND
total.
Settings, which is kind of nice to have some ND settings. And then it's like three and then off and then two super bright or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like not a lot of settings on it. I like that it has a really big field of view.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's worth the price, personally. It's a good
optic,
though.
It's a $600 red dot.
Scoop it up. Yeah, if you have a chance to scoop one up,
It's not outside the realm of...
It's not, but nowadays with the Aimpoint Pros or like the Vortex Sparks... I love the Vortex Sparks, and you're talking about $200.
Yeah.
You know, you can find them even cheaper than that. Shoot, Palmetto State just had a deal where they had a Vortex Spark 2, or AR, Vortex Spark AR, with like five PMAGs for $140 or some craziness like that. So it's like there's...
I'm so glad I no longer get those emails.
Oh, dude, I have to get those emails. That's how the only way I know how to spend money is Palmetto State Armory. I'm the new CEO of Palmetto, I didn't tell you. Yeah, I spent enough money with the business, they just hired me. They pay me in product, bastards.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So sometimes I get two emails a day. I think they've got me pegged.
Oh, yeah. They're like, bastards. This guy's a sucker.
this segment's by. today's show brought to you by Palmetto State Armory. So I think that you have an option for either one. Red dots are great for simplicity. They're great. You pull the gun up. There's the red dot. Bang, engage. Yep. For most close distance engagements, put the red dot where you want it. Maybe you got to hold over a little bit, but it's going to be pretty small.
Yeah, you're...
What I like about a low power variable is obviously I use them in like competitive or hunting or stuff like that because magnification is important there. But if I was looking at a fighting rifle concept, I would want one. If I was going to head over to Afghanistan right now, I would want one. Iraq, I would want one. Any place like that where I'm not just going to be solely kicking indoors from a combat perspective, I'd want a low power variable. If I was a cop on the street, I would want one. Because in low light conditions, and I activate that weapon light, and I'm everything, my whole life and career is riding on whether or not I dump this shit bag or not, and I light him up, and I can't tell what's in his hand, and I'm drop it, and I can't see, that's a problem. And I dump him, and it turns out, you know, he's broken down the side of the road, and that was his cell phone, and he's walking toward me because he can't hear me because the freaking wind's blowing in his left ear or whatever, like some crazy situation. I'm like, son of, you know, I just shot some dude, didn't even be shot. We see that in our low light carbine class where what we'll do is we'll back everyone up to 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
We put that target downrange. It's a 3D target. We dress it up, and we put something in his hands. And then we have people, okay, turn on whatever awesome weapon light you have and tell us what's in his hand. Typically, red dot people can't identify until they get within 25 yards.
Yep.
And then they can actually see, they can identify the object. But low power variable or any kind of fixed power like an ACOG or something like that can typically start to engage somewhere between 75 and 50 yards. And they can 100% identify it. So that's a major factor in this is if I need to be able to zoom in and identify or if I need to do some target observation. You know, that's something to think about as well.
Yeah.
I've used my low power variable in a competitive environment to spot hits for other competitors. Yeah. I couldn't do that with a red dot.
No.
So think about, again, you know, what's your application of
right.
of the gun. For most of my fighting rifles, I'm all about that red dot.
Mm-hmm.
Slings.
Josh's favorite topic. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody needs a sling. It needs to be a Redwire Gear convertible sling. No, I think it depends on your application. Like my self-defense, my home defense rifle, there's an application to have the ability to use a sling on it, mm-hmm. but I don't always keep a sling on that rifle because...
I don't sling fighting rifles, period.
Yeah.
From a military application, it made sense. You got to retain all this other shit. But from a personal, like me, my underwear, my rifle, I'm not putting a sling on. You know, me on the side of the road trying to fight through some Antifa bullshit or whatever, probably not going to sling up unless I'm going to move long distances. But that being said, get a good sling and know how to use it. It's not just for hanging a gun around your body. Mm-mm. Slings can be used for stabilization. They can be used to attach to your body and propped up on other things. Slings are great, cool devices, not just for throwing a gun on your body.
Just for making your rifle a necklace.
But it's also important that when you get a sling, to maintain the sling.
Yeah.
How many slings have we seen fail?
A bunch.
And why do they usually fail?
Gunk, mud, improperly mounted, poorly designed.
Usually improperly mounted, I think.
Yeah, improperly mounted is definitely the most common.
Or they get super wet. That's always a fun part is when things get really wet, like we'll be training in the rain or something like that, and someone's rifle sling will slowly start to unbuckle itself or slowly start to slide out of a tri-glide or something like that because it wasn't really designed to be used.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to be look cool in a package and on YouTube somewhere, but wasn't actually designed to use in, oh my gosh, environments. So, yeah, what kind of sling you mount up? And your ability to adapt it to your environment and your setup and your gear and all important things.
Like I said, everyone should
just buy a Redwire Gear.
Just buy a Redwire Gear convertible.
Just do it already.
Just do it.
Everything's
in stock and ready to ship.
I like John. We've been friends for a long time. We've worked together for a long time. Every sling I currently use is a Redwire Gear sling.
And you still have an OG one. The one you run primarily is older than the one I run.
It's crusted with dried sweat and mud.
Oh, there's a lot of sweat equity in
some
that thing.
Blood on there from animals.
Yeah.
And I love the fact I can take my sling and I can move it from all these different rifles too, which is another thing to think about with a sling. How modular is your sling? I've got every single gun that I use, literally every single firearm that I use primarily can all use the same sling. And some of them in different configurations, it's the same sling.
I think we should sling up the Barrett, see how that rides.
Hell yeah, dude. Put a sling on that Barrett.
It's got mounting points.
I need
to
get some cutie points on there. It's just got the loops, the footman
loops. Just loop it on there.
Heck yeah, dude.
I'll bring an extra one out next time we're at the range.
I want to put it on the Triclops and shoot it off of that and see how it works on our tripods.
You're going to break your man, Frodo, bro.
I guess we'll find out. Extra magazines. Get them.
As many as you can possibly
afford.
There's
no reason not to just have you should be able to build a small fortress out of your magazine collection.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Seriously, you should have a minimum of 5 magazines for every magazine-fed weapon that you own. That's 2 for, oh my gosh, and 3 for training.
I'd just double it. Just get 10.
Oh, get more.
20, 30, I don't know. I have, in rotation, I have 100-plus AR magazines.
Magazines I would bet my life on from an AR perspective would be Lancers.
Yeah.
P-Mags.
Yeah.
I like hex mags. We've used them a lot.
I use them.
I've had enough issues, not major things, but crossing. Mostly, like, I have some guns that will run perfectly on them and then some guns that kind of hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I would just stick with Lancers. I've never had a problem with my Lancers, ever. And they're a plastic magazine, polymer magazine, with metal feed lips. It takes everything that's great about metal magazines, everything that's great about polymer magazines, and bam. Lancers, buy them, use them, love them.
Magazine babies.
What?
Nothing. The Lancer's a magazine baby. The metal mag and the plastic mag got together.
It's like a
shut up.
Interracial thing.
Could have been.
Is that a racial joke?
No. Well, most plastic magazines are black.
Yeah. Now from an AK perspective, big fan of the P-Mags. Huge fan of the P-Mags. Big fan of good old European metal mags. Like the European metal mags.
What about the U.S. Palm mags that are still on the market?
Still on the market. Still available. I like U.S. Palm mags. I don't like that you can't disassemble them. They're absolutely durable, and they feed 100% of the time. I don't like that you can't disassemble them.
Hmm.
All my U.S. Palm mags and all my P-Mags, however, something interesting to note, fit in every single AK platform I've owned or currently own. where I have other mags, various polymer styles or various metal styles that don't always lock up 100% in all my platforms.
Well, that's because the metal mags, there's like, what, four or five super common? Dude, super common.
Yeah, super common, maybe, yeah. Other than that, there's
tons. Yeah, every country that did it has kind of their own tolerances and variations for magazines and for receivers.
From an AR-10 perspective, if that's what you're rocking, get Lancers, Magpul.
I didn't know Lancer made a...
I'll tell you, I do love the HexMag AR-10 mags.
Yeah.
I've been using those only in my AR-10, and they function perfectly.
Nice.
Perfectly. So I love all those. They're all great. If you have another crazy system, like you mentioned the Ruger Mini 14,
yeah,
go with factory magazines.
Yeah.
Don't go with the aftermarket.
There's one aftermarket mag, and I don't recall the name of it, that I bought for the Mini that works great. But... And then my brother-in-law got super lucky. He bought a bunch of the Tapco Mini 14 mags.
Yeah.
And I've run them.
No problems.
Flawlessly.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But weird.
Unicorn.
Yeah, Unicorn mags. They were Wednesday magazines.
So last thing we'll mention here is extra parts. What kind of, if you're going to have a fighting rifle, what kind of extra parts should you have? And that was a question that came up when I was talking to people is, what should I keep in case of repair? First of all, whatever your gun is, get all the armorer's tools for that gun. Mm. Go take an armorer's class.
Yeah, I still need to do that.
If you...
But I have a buddy that's an armorer.
If you're gonna have an AR-15, I highly recommend the Semper Paratus 2-day armors course. Will Larson, who designs the weapons for Psionics,
mm-hmm,
systems down in Tucson, and it's a good friend of ours, and the guy's
been building and working on ARs as long as we have been alive.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much information this guy has. Started old school M16 and has decades of military service, contractor service, being an armorer, using the guns for real. He knows this system like the back of his hand. Every time I've ever had a problem, I call up Will and go, hey, Will, what if? He goes, this is your problem. And it always is that.
Yep.
Sometimes just some stupid little thing. He's like, yeah, that's the issue. If you have a chance, he travels all over the country. He does them here in Arizona a lot because he's based here, but he travels all over the country. Semper Paratus is the name of his company.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because he's an old coastie, and Semper Paratus 2-day armors course, the best armors class I've ever taken, ever. I've taken other specialized ones. This one beats them all.
Nice.
And it's cheap. It's like $400 or something. I mean, it's totally worth it. You get to build a gun completely from scratch. It's an awesome.
Don't you
awesome
tear
course.
Your gun down and rebuild
you
it?
You do. You basically, yeah, if you want to, you'll take your fully functional AR, make it a giant pile of parts, and then put it all back together again.
Cool.
And in some classes, they'll build stuff up from the ground up. You can also buy a rifle kit from Psionics that's just a box of parts, literally all the tiny little parts. Nothing is assembled, and then you assemble it all in the class. Will is a phenomenal instructor as well. So what should you have? One, all the armorer's parts.
Yes.
Everything to fix your gun. And some basic, like Allen keys and screwdrivers and an armorer's hammer and stuff like that. And then all the other extra little parts that you might need. Springs for AR-15s, have an extra bolt carrier group. Make sure you function check it in your gun. Have all those little extra parts and pieces that might break. Any extra springs, hammer springs, detent springs, little tiny pieces that might fly out when you're disassembling. Get all those. You know, if you have an AR, just get a lower parts kit.
Yep.
And get an extra upper parts kit. And you'll have all the extra parts you're probably going to need. So get some extra parts. You don't have to carry them with you everywhere you go, but definitely keep them handy.
Keep them in your range bag.
Last thing, probably the most important thing for your modern fighting rifle, hands down the most important thing for your modern fighting rifle.
Wait a minute. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Training.
Bingo.
Got to know how to use it.
Got to know how to use that gun.
Effectively.
Your gun is useless to you if all you ever do is go out in the desert and plink at you know, tin cans or shoot at totally compliant, non-competitive targets.
I have a guitar at home, so I'm a musician.
Yeah, right.
That's not true. I can strum it, and it sounds okay-ish. I think my kids play it better than I do.
So get some training. Go to a reputable organization. Seek out the right people. Host us if you can. Come to our training with us if you can. If you can't, ask us for recommendations, and we'll try to get the right person for you in your area. We have a huge network of people that we know and trust. Again, just email us, info@trainingaz.com. Get training with your firearm appropriate to your conditions. If you're going to use it for home defense, go get training about home defense.
Yep.
If you're going to use it in a combative environment or a competitive environment or a long-distance environment or a field environment, whatever it's going to be, go get training in that perspective. And all your training should at some point be a goal to reach that competitive, non-compliant target engagement where you actually have to fight someone else with your gun.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just won't totally understand.
We need to get another UTM AR.
I got two more coming right now.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's going to be terrible.
All right. So if you have questions or you think we missed something important, email us. info@trainingaz.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. We've mentioned several times in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You can host us. Just, again, email us, and we'll give you all the information. And make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube as Independence Training, The Arms Room Show, and Red Wire Gear.
Yeah, buddy.
We're going to be changing the show coming up here. Just so I want everyone to know this coming up. We're actually going to be changing the way we do live shows here in a few weeks. We're going to be killing the live podcast and actually doing what we hope to be Facebook Live.
Yeah.
So we'll go back to video and we'll do that on Facebook. Audio quality will be okay. And then what we're actually going to start doing is we're going to record the audio during that, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Only after the show, we're actually going to remaster the audio so it sounds really, really good.
Nice.
And then re-releasing that as a podcast. And it'll be the same thing. You know, it'll be available like Monday afternoon or whatever.
Yeah.
It'll be released and you'll have this really great sounding podcast, or you can still watch us live on Facebook Live on our Arms Room Show Facebook page. So we're going to be changing things a little bit. We've got a couple equipment changes we're going to be making and some other cool changes coming up that we'll talk about as we get closer to them. So there you go. Just a heads up.
Word.
Remember, we're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Check out the other stuff that they have going on. 24 shows. Adam's in with us today. 24 shows now. 24 shows on Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out Adam's show, The Decision Hour. It's a really good show about when people had to make the decision to shit or get off the pot in their life. And sometimes that was about business or relationships or the military, all kinds of different people that he interviews on his show, including yours truly. I was on his show a couple months ago or something like that. Again, my time frame, I have no idea. Could have been last week. It was
3 weeks
before yesterday.
Yeah, whatever.
3 weeks ago, Adam says. Okay.
Couple of months, 3 weeks, same.
But make sure you check out his show. Lots of cool stuff. And, you know, Heroes Media Group does some really cool things. So make sure you go to their website and check out what else they do. Adam was just telling me about covering the Army-Navy game last year. I didn't even know you did that. And now he's telling me he's going to do it again this year. So super cool. I know.
You retarded? I knew he did that.
I didn't know.
It was like a big deal.
For like 3 weeks.
I don't know. No time function here.
Adam's not here.
I was like, oh, Adam? Adam was here yesterday. And you're like, dude, I haven't been there for 3 weeks. Like, whatever. Instant replay that shit, all right? All right, next week, we're actually going to – it's the start of hunting season. We're going to talk about how to get started in hunting and how to find your hunting style, because there's a lot of different styles. There's predator hunting. There's close-range hunting. There's bird hunting. There's long-range hunting. There's big game hunting. There's all kinds of small game, oh man, trapping, all kinds of crazy stuff to get into. And I get asked a lot personally about how to get involved in hunting. A lot of people didn't grow up in that world.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to know. So we're going to start, we're going to talk about how to get started in hunting. Where do you even start? Where do you begin? Most people have no idea where to start. And so they don't, or they start, they don't have a good experience and they don't end up doing anything. And then how to find the style that fits you. I've certainly got a style and we'll talk about that. So until next time, stay aware, stay safe. And train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.